Someone asked me about this morning, so I'm going to answer it. These are the same books that we get before. Okay, they just redesigned it, okay? So this is the exact same book that we got before. Someone was like, why did you change the books? We did. Okay, it's the exact same thing. Okay, so anyways, that's what that is. All right, grab your Bibles. Of course, we've been in a series on trapped addictive behaviors. And I'm kind of bunching a few in because I don't want this series to go for 5 years. And so we're bunching a few in tonight as we talk specifically about technology and some of the benefits. Obviously, we've talked about the benefits of technology, and technology is a good thing. We're not opposed to it. We don't believe that you should be cavemen or anything like that. You don't need to be Amish, okay? But obviously, there's some areas where we need to be careful, because these phones, if we're not careful, and these technology things that we have today can certainly be detrimental. Okay, so we're going to be in a few different passages, and like I said, this is really kind of three put together, but we won't spend a ton of time on any of them, but they'll all be somewhat significant as we go through, okay? That's the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in, and we'll talk about technology crowding our lives, and then we'll deal with technology corrupting our lives and some other things, okay? That's the Lord's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are so thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can study it and look at it here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this gift that our generation has, Father, of the technology that you have given, the wisdom that you gave to create these devices. But Lord, yes, some of the pitfalls and some of the shortcomings that may come from some of these devices. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find proper balance and help us as your children to avoid some of these addictive behaviors that can so easily and so quickly creep up around our use of these gifts that you've given. So Lord, strengthen us, help us in these things, Father. Lord, I pray that this would be an encouraging time, an interactive time, and Father, a challenging time, Lord, as you speak to our hearts. So Lord, strengthen and help. Well, thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. How many of you, let me ask, how many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand if you have a smartphone. Okay, good. All right? Most everybody, okay? Most everybody has a smartphone. How many of you use your smartphone regularly? You would say you use it pretty consistently. You would call it regularly. How many of you say you don't really use it that much? Anybody? Okay, Alan. All right, good. No, don't really use it that much. Most of us, if you have a smartphone, you use it fairly regularly. Of course, we had the marriage retreat this past weekend. And when we were having the marriage retreat, again, I think it was in the guy's split session, but he said one of the things that he has to do when he goes on a date is he has to keep his phone in the car. And the reason for that is when you're there, he said one time they went out on a date and he was there and he was scrolling media and responding on Twitter and on Facebook and all this stuff, and his wife's right there. And technology can do that, can it? We can so easily and so quickly get stuck to these things. Yes? We can very quickly get stuck to our phones and get stuck to technology, and that's certainly a detrimental thing. So we're going to look at three areas where technology might not necessarily be good. As I said, I'm a techie guy. Of course, we've added a lot of technology here at the church since I've come. So I'm a pretty techie guy. I'm not against technology in any way, but obviously we want to be wise in some of these things, okay? So first we'll look at technology can easily crowd our lives, okay? And this is more in line with our time, okay? The technology can quickly take all of our time. Technology's effects on time. A few statistics for you, as we've been doing with each of these. First off, 92% of Americans believe that cell phone addiction is a real thing. Okay, now, 92% is an insane number. That's crazy. That's a huge amount of people. So clearly, the entire world, this is not talking about Christians, this is talking about the world, they know that we can be addicted to these things, and certainly that would be true, right? Have you ever met somebody that they just can't get off their phones, right? You're trying to have a conversation with them, and they're like, okay, yeah, cool, that's cool, yeah, that's great, yeah, okay, right? You know, that's reality, and that's a very dangerous thing that we have to be aware of. Number two, the average person in America spends 2 hours and 51 minutes per day on a mobile device. Now, I've heard different numbers on that. This, okay? I was going through the statistics, and another website said 5 hours. Another website that was specifically referring to teens said 7 hours and 50-something minutes. Okay, so maybe teens spend a whole lot more time on their phones. I don't know. But suffice it to say, we spend a lot of time on our phones. Number three, 79% of adults have their smartphones with them 22 hours a day. Have you ever done this? You go into a store and you forget your phone in the car. You ever done that? The other day, I was going to Walmart, and we were getting ready for a retreat, and I forgot my phone in the car. And I went, and it felt like I'd forgotten my pants or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going in, and I'm like, right? Everywhere I'm walking, I'm like, something is not right here. Right? Because we always have to have it on us, yes? We always have to have it with us. And we're afraid that we might miss a notification or might miss a text. By the way, if you text me, I may not respond immediately. That's the benefit of text. Okay? But that's the reality of it. Number four here. 26%, one-fourth of all car accidents in the United States are caused by some type of smartphone usage. So whether that's texting, whether that's calling and being distracted, one-fourth of all car accidents are caused by a smartphone. Next, 45% of teens feel addicted to their smartphone. So clearly, our phones and our technology can very quickly crowd out and can damage, can hurt, can destroy our lives. Now, let's look at God's view on time. If we can, take your Bible, please. Turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. And let me say, as you're turning over there, just as a reminder, if you have any thoughts or anything about this, please feel free to pop your hand up. That's perfectly fine. I'm going to take my jacket off. Some of the folks at Couples Retreat were laughing at me about how, you know, when I get going, then I take my jacket off. Okay, so Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll be in verse number 16. I also need a few other people to look up some other verses, okay? Colossians 4 and verse number 5. Can someone look that one up? Okay, Waylon, I see your hand. Colossians 4, 5. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. All right, John, I saw your hand on that one. And that should be all of them for right now. We'll get some more in just a second. All right, we're all in Ephesians 5, verse 16, right? Let's read it together, can we? It's a short verse, pretty simple one. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Here's what it says. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now you say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, in summary, redeeming the time has the idea of carefully purchasing and carefully buying every moment. Okay? How many of you are careful spenders? You don't blow money. How many of you are that way? Okay? How many of you are just spenders? You just blow. You know, you go and you're like, oh, this looks fun, and so you just buy it, okay? All right, we're pretty careful, okay? Our family's pretty careful when we spend money. We're fairly frugal and try not to waste money or anything like that. When we're going to the store, we shop at Aldi, for example, okay? That tells you enough about a person. If they shop at Aldi, okay, that they're careful spenders, okay? It's the most, you know, they don't even give you bags, okay? And so we shove it all. Why? Because we want to be careful with every moment. Well, the Bible's saying here that we should be careful with what? Our time. The reality is there's a lot of things in this world that can take our time. Amen. Right? Would you agree? There's a lot of things in this world that can, if we're not careful, can spend our time just like something might be able to take and blow our budget, right? Some of you maybe you shouldn't be on Amazon, okay? Or some of you, you know, not pointing at anybody, okay? Even though John was talking about that among a certain woman that is his wife. But we're not talking about anybody. But, you know, certain things can do that, and certain things can take your time. Do you know? I'll get to you in just a second, John. Do you know that you know, you might have a social media thing that takes all your time, right? How many of you are Facebook people? You spend hours on Facebook. How many of you are Twitter people? Instagram. Anyone Instagram? Yes. Okay, good. You can go and you can just scroll. How many of you you can spend all your time on a game, like playing some kind of game. Okay? Yeah, so you're gaming or something like that, you can spend hours on it, right? Am I making sense here? there, we have to be careful about our time. God only gives us so much time on this earth. And if we're not careful, we will use our time, and one day we'll be accountable for our time, and we'll have wasted the time we had on this earth. So we need to be careful about it. We need to redeem the time. Why? The verse says, because the days are what? Evil. We need to be making a difference in the world and not wasting our time on things that frankly don't really matter. Okay? So, number one, our time should, number one, be used carefully. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Number two, our time should be used wisely. Who had Colossians 4 and verse number 5? Waylon, go ahead and read it out for us.
Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time.
Good. Very similar idea from another book. It says, walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. So clearly, we need to use our time wisely. Not just should we use it carefully, but we should use it wisely. There are some things that, frankly, we don't need to spend our time on. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But there are certain things that you should spend your time on, and there are certain things you shouldn't. And each one of us, as we grow in our faith, need to be able to discern, okay, this is worth my time, this is not worth my time. Am I making sense? It's fine to scroll through Facebook. It's fine to go and play a game. But if that is taking too much of your time, then there's an issue. Y'all with me here? There needs to be a balance in your life. Use your time carefully. You only have so many moments on this earth. Use it carefully. Number two, use it wisely. Use wisdom toward those that are without. Number three, you should use your time spiritually. Who had Romans 13, verse 11 and 12? John, go ahead and read that for us. Okay, bro?
And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now the matter is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Good. Do you catch what that passage is saying? It's saying, hey, we need to, one, know the time, that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. That is, you're closer to heaven now than you were when you got saved. Right? So because of that, how should we live our life? How should we spend our time? We should spend our time spiritually. Am I making sense? We should cast off the works of darkness. We should put on the armor of light. What's it mean? Here's what it means, nice and simply. I'm fine with playing games. I'm fine with scrolling through Facebook. I'm fine with, you know, doing some of those things. But if you only spend 15, 30 minutes in something spiritual and you spend 3 hours on your phone doing something carnal, obviously, what's your life about? It's about the carnal. Am I making sense? Y'all with me here? That's what it's about. We are children. We are God's children, right? We're supposed to constantly be casting off the works of darkness. We're to be living different than the world, and we need to be putting on the armor of light. We need to be not in this, but in this. Am I making sense? So we need to be using our time spiritually. I've talked to a lot of people in the past, and they say, well, I struggle having my devotions. I just don't have the time to. You know, I have the same amount of time that you do. Right? We all have the same amount of time, yes? We all have the same amount of time. You know, I have 4 kids. I might have less time. Okay? We all have the same amount of time. You all with me here? We all have the exact same amount of time. We all go to work pretty much the same amount of hours. We have the same amount of time, but if you're not careful, you won't use it wisely, and then, therefore, you won't use your time spiritually. Am I making sense? John, what were you going to say, bud?
I was just going to, the speaker over the weekend,
yeah.
He made mention that he'd been in so many, you know, hospital bedsides that they were slipping out into eternity.
Right.
And the basics of it was nobody ever asked to look at their last paycheck or their BMW outside their car or, you know, I don't want to picture my house. It's always their loved ones and their relationship with the Lord.
Right. And, you know, that's where our time should be. Our time should be focused on caring for family, on being the kind of parent or the kind of grandparent or the kind of whatever that you need to be, the kind of husband, the kind of wife, what you need to be, but even more than that, what you should be before the Lord. Am I making sense?
Amen.
So, I'm not, again, let me be very clear. I'm not against some of these things, but we all understand that, frankly, most Christians, and certainly the unsaved, it's out of whack. Y'all with me? It's way, way out of whack. Okay? So we got to be real careful about our time because tech can crowd our lives. Would you agree? Tech can so easily crowd our lives, so we have to be careful about it. But give some tips to protect your time, okay? I think we've beaten that dead horse pretty well, okay? So some tips to protect our time. Number one, you need to set up and follow some limitations. The Bible word is redeeming. It's a purchasing idea. Redeeming the time. So what does that mean? That means you physically need to go, and especially if you're struggling in this area, you need to set up some limitations, okay? If you're not careful, let me just get it from a family perspective. If you're not careful, you'll go and you'll spend your entire life on your phone. You'll spend your entire life watching a TV. You won't spend any time with your spouse. You won't spend any time with your kids. Why? Because it can crowd your life. So you personally, together as a family, need to go and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to just turn on the TV and leave it on for 5 hours and then go to bed. Right? Or I'm not going to go and I'm not going to just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and then go to bed. Set some times and say, okay, you know, I'm going to go and keep up with everybody on whatever, my social media, for, I don't know, 15 minutes or something. Then I'm going to do something else. Am I making sense? Set some limitations and follow it. Redeem the time. Buy each moment. Use your time wisely. Budget, if you will, your time. Am I making sense? So number one, set up and follow limitations. Number two, use accountability. This is, as we said before, okay, 92% of Americans realize that technology can be an addiction, okay? If I was going and I was sitting down with someone and they were an alcoholic, or I was sitting down with someone and they had a drug addiction, or they had pornography addiction, or whatever, they had some kind of legit addiction, what would I do? First, I would go and say, hey, you need to be careful about that. You need to get off that. But then two, I'd say, hey, you need to have somebody that's going to keep you accountable so you don't fall back into that. Am I making sense? You with me, yes? So, if you have an addiction to your phone, then you need to set up some kind of accountability to make sure that you don't keep having an addiction to your phone. Duh! Right? So have some kind of wisdom and go and say, hey, you know what? You know, I don't need to do that. Becky and I, we go and we straighten each other out. Okay? I go and I'll post on Facebook a lot, and I'll post stupid stuff, okay? Because I'm stupid. But then number two, I'll post doctrinal stuff, and I'll spend all this time, and I'm on a pastor's group, and I'll spend hours writing these big lengthy things, answering all pastors' questions about the Bible or whatever, and I'll go and I'll deal with all this. But if I'm not careful, I'll spend too much time on that, and not on my family, right? Becky sometimes says, hey, you need to take a break on that. Now, Becky, on the other hand, she does all the Instagram stuff, right? Right? So she's scrolling through. Oh, that's cute. Like that. Right? That's exactly how she sounds. And, oh, that's cute. Right? And she'll scroll through and she'll do that. But if we're not careful, then it'll go and she'll be scrolling through and she'll be doing that. And I'll be doing my theological thing. And we'll be sitting on two sides of the couch. Right? In the same room, kids are in bed. Okay, time for bed. Right? And there went the entire night. We didn't say a word to each other. You with me here? And most families, that's how they're living. And then they're surprised when all of a sudden, well, I just don't feel like I know him anymore. Well, I can tell you why. Am I making sense? Set some limitations, use some accountability, have some common sense and say, hey, you know what? You know, this is something in my life that I'm kind of struggling with. Go to your spouse, go to your family, go to your parents and say, you know what? I get stuck on it too much. If you're not careful, you know this, I hope, that a lot of the news and a lot of the stuff on here will make you view your life in the wrong way, right? Amen. Right? You go and you see, well, their life is so perfect. No, it's not. They use filters. Right? Their life ain't perfect. But if you go and you're constantly seeing that, then you think, man, my life has warts. Their life doesn't. Well, yeah, because they Photoshopped those out. Right? So use some accountability and go and say, hey, you know what? I need to guard myself. Guys that play, especially you guys that play games, I like to play, you know, video games and stuff like that. You play video games? Yeah, Joshua. Okay. Be careful. Because I've counseled people, and they go, and their spouse, their husband, normally it is, goes and he plays video games all night, and then the wife's just kind of sitting there like, eh. Right? And then the spouse goes to bed, right? And they both go to bed, and they haven't spent any time together. Am I making sense? Be careful. Set some accountability up. Go and say, hey, you know what? We need to be careful about this. Am I making sense here? This is not, oh my goodness, Pastor, I never thought of that. Okay, no, none of you are thinking that. I know that, but sometimes we have to be reminded of what we know, right? And the reality is, this can take time. I was reading an article real quick, and then we'll move on to the next. I was reading an article. It was in South Korea. And in South Korea, they are spending literally billions of dollars. And the reason they're spending billions of dollars, get this, is insane. The reason they're spending billions of dollars is because they said their youth are so addicted to phones, they don't want to get jobs, they don't want to get married, and their population is dropping off because they're so addicted to their technology. I read this whole article. They're spending, I want to say, I don't remember the number, but it's in the billions of dollars to try to give counseling to people because they're spending too much time on their phones. Am I making sense here? This is not some little random thing that we're talking, oh, preacher, that's not important. No, it is important. And it breaks up families, and it ruins lives, and it goes, and you waste your life, and then you get to 50, 60 years old, and then you look back and you say, well, why are my kids going this way? Well, because you didn't spend time with them. Right? Or, oh, man, why is my relationship with my spouse so bad? Well, because you didn't spend time with her. Am I making sense here? Don't get there and then say, oh, I wish I had. No, 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 no. You can't now. Time is one of the few things you can never get back. Am I making sense? You can't get back time. You can get back money. You blow your budget this month. Hey, the good news is, next month you'll hopefully have the same amount. Right? Time ain't that way. You blow a year of your life, that year's gone, and you don't get it back. Am I making sense? So use your time carefully. John?
I had a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
He got a disturbing phone call
right
from school last year before last.
Yeah.
And his 15-year-old son just basically told the teacher that life wasn't worth living anymore. Right. And so he goes to the school, and he gets the kid, and, you know, they go to the counselor. I guess the gist of it is where he's on that telephone all the time playing video games and social media, that replaces your will to have fun. And like, kids don't want to get their driver's license, they don't want a relationship, they don't want boyfriends and girlfriends. All they want is that telephone. It just takes the fundamentals out of life.
Yeah, yeah. And it legit happens, okay? This is a real, real thing. I know of somebody, I'm not going to say who it is, I know of somebody, and literally they're in their 20s and they never got their driver's license because they're too busy doing other stuff, okay? And stuff like this can take place. Folks, we got to be careful. We got to be careful over time. Us as Christians, we should not be like that. Y'all with me here?
Amen.
We should not be like that. If anyone should have a level of self-control, if anyone should have can have a level of using this but not being used by this, right? This is slave to me, not I'm slave to this. Am I making sense? It should be us. Steve.
Another thing to keep in mind, too, if under the tips to protect your time is there are now apps that you can get, even on your phone, to where you can limit yourself in the amount of time, you know, say Facebook, YouTube, and it'll alert you, say, hey, you're going over your time that you said you limit.
Right, right. That's
to keep in mind.
That brings a very good point. Yeah, there are apps that can, for those of you that might be watching the live stream, there are apps that can kind of help protect you on that. I would strongly encourage, if you have kids and you're getting them any kind of device or anything like that, that you have those kind of things, okay? We got Joshua. Obviously, you also need to have filters, okay? And we'll talk about that in a moment. But protection even on the time side. When we first got Joshua a tablet, one, you didn't have full access to the internet. We'll talk about that later. But two, it actually had a filter. It was through it. It was one of those little Amazon tablets. And we can go and we could set up, hey, you can only play during these times for this long. And after this, then it shuts off. It just, you cannot turn it on. Okay? There are things that can do that. If you are, you feel like this is kind of a place of bondage in your life, okay? We're talking, I'm going to park here, okay? Because I'm running out of time and I can't go through all of it anyways. We were talking at the couples retreat. And we were going, we were having an intervention, we were talking afterwards, and we were talking about some of the things that we struggle with. And we have some people in the church that just recently got saved, right? We have some people that have been saved for a long time, right? And he wouldn't mind me saying, Jake's been trying to get off of smoking, and so we were talking, and we're like, man, Jake, you gotta get off smoking, you know? And we're trying to kind of encourage him, right? And then we kind of got into spending time just talking about all of us have something that wants to hang on to us, right? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have a sin that easily besets us. That means we have a sin that just wants to hang on and not let go, right? And I think it was Amy, she said, well, Pastor, what's yours? And I said, honestly, my time is my thing. I tend to go and to spend way too much time working on church. I tend to spend way too much time preparing a sermon or going and, you know, I built the set for the couples retreat and spend way too much time on that. And I said, you know, that last week, you know, I worked over here back under the pavilion until 8:30 every night. And then I don't see my kids. Am I making sense here?
Amen.
Now, sometimes if we're not careful, and I think somebody in the group, as we were all sitting around the table just kind of talking, somebody in the group was like, well, that's not really an addiction. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because anything that takes control of your life is addictive. Am I making sense? So if you're a workaholic and you spend all of your time, okay, at work, then you're addicted to work. And you need to stop being addicted to work. Am I making sense? And if you spend all of your time addicted to your phone, then you need to stop spending all your time addicted to your phone and start spending time with your family. Am I making sense here? We get so crowded in our lives, and especially in the modern world, right? That there's all these things constantly pulling us, and I regularly, people go and they shoot me a text, hey, Richard, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if I'm not careful, I will spend all my time answering everybody's numbers and answering everybody's texts and calls and everything like that while my kids are growing up underneath me and I spend no time with my kids, right? Why do pastors' kids normally end up messed up? You know why? Because pastors don't balance their time to take care of their kids. You all with me here? Am I making sense? So our time is an important, important, important thing. So don't just gloss over this and say, oh, well, you know, I'm okay. No, no, no. Really consider, am I trapped in using my time in a way that's not productive? Am I making sense? Making sense? So this is something that literally, as your pastor, I'm being open and honest. This is something that I tend to struggle with. Okay? I'm in a lot of ways, I'm all in. When I'm on something, I'm all in on that, right? That can be a good thing or that can be a really bad thing, right? And if you're all in on your little game, then, you know, I was playing a game and Becky's like trying to talk to me and I'm like, yeah, uh-huh, okay, right? Yeah, sure. I have no idea what she's saying. I'm just saying, yeah, sure, right? You know what I'm saying? Be careful, because you only have so many moments.
That's right.
Those moments are important. Number one, tech can crowd our lives. Number two, I don't know if I'm going to get through this, but we're going to try, okay? Number two, tech can communicate into our lives. The reality is that tech very easily, you will say things on technology that you wouldn't say in person, okay? You might say something on a social media that you wouldn't say normally. There's a reason why when someone has a complaint, normally they send it by email rather than in person, okay? That's what happens. Let's look at it. Text effect on speech. 24% say social media is mostly negative. So 1/4 of people say most of social media is a negative thing. And we as Christians should not be that way. 68% say that they see drama occasionally or more on the internet. Okay, I would say that number would probably be far higher, okay? that you might have some friends and all they post is drama, right? You ever have one of those friends? I can't believe this. And everyone's like, what? It's awful. Well, no, what happened? I'm so hurt. What happened? I just pray. Okay. Yeah, y'all with me here? Okay. What is that that's drama? Right? If you want someone to pray about it, can I just say real quick, if you want someone to pray about it, be honest about it. Okay, I understand some things are sensitive. I understand some things. Sometimes it's a situation that you just can't share. Okay, I get that. But, you know, just say, hey, you know, I have a serious unspoken prayer request. I can't give all the details, but I need you guys to pray. Please pray. Am I making sense? But don't try and make everything drama. What in the world? Right? Am I making sense? Be careful what you say. 44% of internet users have experienced some form of harassment. That's not their sexual harassment. That's any type of attack against you, okay? Whether that's someone calling you stupid or you know, what have you, but some form of harassment. 50% of people were angry. 33% felt hurt. 15% felt scared when they used the internet. And we as Christians, I'm afraid, sometimes can go and will say certain things that we would never say in church online. Why? How do I, preacher, how do you know that? Because I follow most of you. You know what they hear? I do. I follow you. And I'm like, what's the problem with them? What's the problem with her? You all with me here? You forget I'm your friend. Now, most of you are going to block me now, but that's fine. But am I making sense? So I'll go and I'll get my phone up and I'm like, man, I got to preach on this now. Right? One of my pastor friends, he was joking about this, but one of my pastor friends, he said, you know, most of my sermons, I get them from Facebook. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, I see what people are dealing with, and then I preach on it. Right. But no, the reality is, though, it's true, isn't it? We come into church, and we're like, I am a holy saint. Oh. Right? Like, how many of you, okay, you're growing up, okay? How many of you grew up, like, going to church, right? Your parents drug you into church, okay? I grew up on drugs. My parents drug me to church. And so you go, and you're coming, and you're in the car, and you're like, right, all this stuff. And then you get in church, and you're like, oh. Right? And you walk in. And all of you are perfect in your perfect suits. Right? And right? And then you leave here and then you're like, rah, again. Right? Well, even more so online, we can tend to go there. I've seen friends that go to good churches that attend faithfully that are jerks online. That will say the meanest, hurtful, most damaging things to fellow Christians. That they may not say in person because, frankly, they might get punched in the face. Right? So they're not going to say it in person, but they can sure say it online. They can throw it right out there on Facebook. Why? Because, well, you can't really come back at me. Am I making sense? Oh, be careful. I've seen people go and use cuss words and use language that shouldn't be used of a child of God. Am I making sense here? Language that should not be used as a child of God. You can say it all day online, but you would never dare say it in this building. Can I tell you, God is just as much in you out there on your phone as he is in here.
That's right.
Right? You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. So if you think it's okay to say it on your little phone, and you think it wouldn't be okay here, no. If it ain't okay here, it ain't okay there. Am I making sense here? But technology has this effect on speech that we think, oh, well, we can say what we want and it's not a big deal. No, but it won't affect you. No, it does affect people. It destroys. It hurts. There is an interesting thing. I wanted to put the whole thing in here, but I didn't. there's an interesting correlation between how much time you spend on social media and how much you struggle with depression. They actually follow each other on the graph. So if you tend to spend more time on social media, you tend, obviously this, so depression is a very big thing, okay? And we've talked about all that before. This is just general. You tend, if you spend a lot of time on social media, you tend to more often struggle with depression. Why? Because you're always hearing the negative voices. Because you're always seeing that people's lives are better. Am I making sense? And you can very easily go and say, oh, my life's miserable. My life's terrible. There's no point in it. No, no, no. We Christians, we have a great gift. I can share the gospel with thousands of people in an instant. You all with me here? In an instant, I can share the gospel. I have a good friend, very good friend. He attended here for a little while when the church that he was at, kind of some issues happened. Very good friend. He was a missionary to Jews. He himself is part Jewish. His father is a full-blooded Jew. And he was a missionary to Jews. Well, during COVID, actually, he started going and he started sharing the gospel through TikTok videos. I'm not a fan of everything on TikTok, okay? Obviously, there's some big, very bad stuff. But he said, hey, thousands, millions of young adults are on TikTok. Why isn't there someone sharing the gospel with them? So he went and started doing professional videos explaining the gospel in a minute or so, going and sharing Bible truth. He's had literally hundreds, thousands of people that have gotten saved. Why? Because he said, I'm going to use this the right way and not the wrong way. Am I making sense? We have a gift, folks. But what are we doing as Christians? We're using it for trash. We're using it for filth. Right? And can I tell you, the world's watching you.
That's right.
So your coworker that goes and sees you post that lewd or inappropriate thing on Facebook, sees you say that word, and then you go and you say, well, would you not say this? They're like, what? You say it online. Yeah, am I making sense? Oh, preacher's gotten to meddling. Well, yes, I did. Because, can I tell you, I am tired of my Christian friends posting stuff that I'm like, what on earth? Y'all with me here? Terrible things. Listen, there's no reason ever to say something. The Bible says it's a shame to even share certain things. And that's the reality of our lives. So let's continue. Let's real quick get through this one. Let's look up a few verses if we can, okay? First off, can someone look up, let's all look up Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're not too far from it. Ephesians chapter number 4. Can someone look up Titus 3 and verse number 9? Someone? Titus 3 verse 9? Nathan, if you can, Titus 3 verse 9. And also, I'll have you read verse 10 and 11 too in just a little bit, okay? Since you're right there, okay? All right, we're all in Ephesians chapter number 4, if we can. Ephesians 4, verse number 29. Ephesians 4, verse number 29. It says there, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. By the way, let me just say real quick, let's not just talk about mouth, because we're talking about tech, okay? So let's obviously it applies to that too. So let's just say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your online, okay? Out of your social media, out of your posts, out of your tweets, out of your texts, out of your calls. Am I making sense? Let no corrupt communication proceed in any way, okay? Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed in any way out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. That means building up, strengthening, encouraging, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. So everything that we say, instead of destroying, instead of being corrupt, it should do what? It should build up. It should share what? God's grace. Right? Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You say, well, why is that there? That's there because it's tied to the previous, right? If you're sharing something that's corrupt and not good to the use of edifying, then you're grieving, you're hurting, you're injuring God's Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that word just means kind of unrest, okay? Speaking, just kind of trying to stir the pot, so to speak. And evil speaking, that's talking about things that are evil, obviously, be put away from you with all malice. Malice has this idea of almost bitterness, okay? You're just upset at somebody, no matter what they do. Verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's give a few ideas here. Number one, avoid corrupt speech. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Number two, avoid hurtful speech. Verse number 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So not only corrupt speech is talking about speech that we should never say, okay, the words that we wouldn't say, the curse words or the vulgar words, things we shouldn't talk about. But number two, hurtful speech, not just those words we shouldn't say or the things we shouldn't talk about, but words, phrases that we naturally would go to just to annoy, just to hurt somebody. I was talking to Tyler and Summer. We were talking, Malcolm and Donna went to the same restaurant that we went to. We went to Culver's. They had never been to Culver's, so they had to go to Culver's. So we went to Culver's, and we were talking a little bit about the change that happened here at the church and over the years. And I remember that first Easter. And that first Easter, someone came. We had a good number of guests, and someone came that first Easter, and they went, and they weren't dressed quite like they perhaps should have been. They were guests, and someone came up to them, and literally online, I believe the first one was actually in person, but then several other posts, called the person an inappropriate name because of how they were dressed. Someone else went and sent some things online, you know, because they didn't want to say it in person. It's just a big old mess. Can I tell you, Christian friends, that ought never be in our lives.
Amen.
Don't use corrupt, vulgar speech. Don't use hurtful speech. Don't try to hurt someone. Am I making sense? You know the difference? Let's apply it to your marriage, to your families. I know exactly the words that could and would hurt Becky. Y'all with me here?
Amen.
Been married for 14 years now. I know what I could say, and instantly I'd win the argument. Right? Because I know it would be too much for her. I need to know that so I never do it.
That's right.
Am I making sense? You might know exactly what you need to say to win the argument online. Who stinking cares if you win an argument online?
Right?
Who cares?
Well, I proved that Trump was a good president, ain't me?
Who cares? The guy's out of office. Who cares? Am I making sense here?
I'm fiscally conservative and all that stuff,
but who cares? You're ruining your testimony. You're ruining what you could be to win an argument online.
Right.
Don't be hurtful. Don't say that which is corrupt. Number three, avoid hurtful speech. Avoid corrupt speech. Number three, act with helpful speech.
Preacher, this is shocking.
No, it's simple, isn't it? Obviously, we as Christians should say things that are helpful. As it says in verse number 29, that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers. What's the idea here? We're constantly wanting to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to help. We as a church, that's why, part of the reason why we gather is to exhort one another, to encourage one another, to love good works, Hebrews 10 says. So clearly, we need to be about helping each other, not hurting each other. But why is it that so often we as churches are known for hurting and destroying each other? You know why? Because we can't control ourselves. We can't control what we say. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sometimes people will act like jerks. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, online is kind of like the Wild West. And I agree. Right? They go and they come up, man, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. this Facebook ain't big enough for the both of us. I was on a Facebook group and investing group, and I went and I was sharing some stuff. Some people were asking some questions about buying mutual funds for international. It's not important. And anyways, they were asking about that, and I said, well, here's kind of what I did and stuff, and we've had pretty good returns on it, and blah, blah, blah. We're talking about this. Well, someone's like, I don't believe you. Okay. I did. I'm not going to share my thing. You're just going to try and steal it. Am I making sense? Who cares? Let's continue on. Some tips to protect your speech, then we'll close. First off, avoid divisive problems. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 9. This is literally my policy when it comes to online use. And hopefully this will help you. Titus 3 and verse number 9. Let's actually all turn there, and we'll have Nathan read it for us, okay, since he already turned. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 9. Book of Titus was written to a pastor that Paul sent to start a church over on the island of Crete. Titus 3 and verse number 9. Nathan, can you read verse number 9 for us?
Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
Good. So what's that verse saying? It's saying there are some things that you don't need to jump in on. Y'all with me here? There are certain things online that you do not need to talk about. My grandma said something, and I will never forget it. Okay? She said, those that are convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. You know what that means? Can I say it in John Utley, Northern Redneck? Here's what that means. Don't talk to people that don't care what you're saying. Right? Mm-hmm. He's saying avoid some questions. They're pointless, they're unprofitable, they're vain. You know, if you, those of you that have known me for the 4 years that I've been here, going on 5, you know I like to answer questions. Right? There are some questions that are pointless. You know why? Because they don't want the answer. Right? And it doesn't matter how much time I spend giving the answer, guess what? They're not going to listen anyways. Continue on, verse number 10. I'll read this. Verse number 10, Titus 3, verse 9. Avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law. They're unprofitable and vain. Verse number 10. A man that is an heretic. That word heretic, we think of, oh, well, major doctrinal issues. That's not really what the word means. It means divisive, causing division, okay? A man that's a heretic, causing division, after the first and second admonition, reject. You know what that means? Here's what I do. I post something. Let's say it's a Bible thing, okay? I post a Bible thing. And that person goes and they say, well, I disagree with you. Then I'll post again, very clearly, giving why I am where I am biblically. Am I making sense? Here's exactly what I believe. Here's why I'm here. Blah, 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 blah. Here's all the proofs. All that stuff. Man, I still don't believe you. One more time. Here's any other questions that you might have. After this, I just want to let you know, I don't respond after 2. I'm not going to get into this big argument. Here's what it is. After first and second admonition, what? Reject. Move on. Move on with your life. You don't need to win it. Who cares? Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. It goes back to what we talked about before. We only have so much time, right? So don't spend all your time fighting with somebody online that doesn't care, that just wants to prove that they're right as much as you want to prove you're right. Be humble enough to say, you know what? It's not a big deal. And then number 2, avoid divisive. Number 1, avoid divisive problems. Number 2, avoid divisive people. Verse number 11, knowing that he that is such, that is a heretic that's trying to cause division, knowing that he that is such is subverted, that means he's already undermined, he's already fallen apart, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. You know what it's saying? Here's what it's saying, nice and simply. It's saying you go, you give a clear answer, biblically, not from your opinion, biblically. You give a clear answer, and if they don't listen, then move on. You know what Jesus told the disciples? He said, go into a city. When you go into the city, if they don't listen to you, then what are you supposed to do? Wipe the dust off your feet and move on.
That's right?
Why? Because you don't have to win every argument. Am I making sense? Don't say things that are inappropriate. That's true. But number two, hey, protect your speech. Avoid divisive problems. Avoid divisive people. Be careful what you say. Can I add one thing real quick to this? Number two, speech is not something that comes out of here. It's something that comes out of here. Right? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. James said, everybody says things that are inappropriate at some point. Paraphrase. Everybody sins with their mouth. It's an animal that can't possibly be tamed.
That's right.
So how do you tame it? By taming here. If you're a hateful person inside, guess what? It's going to come out of your mouth and it's going to come out online. You with me? If you're a vulgar person in here, it's going to come out of your mouth and it's going to come out online. If you're an arrogant person, then guess what? You're going to want to win every argument because it's going to come out of here and it's going to come out online. Am I making sense? And if you're a humble person that loves God, then it should be coming out of here and it should be coming out online. Y'all with me here? Two simple ideas. I know I went a little bit long. I'm sorry for that. The idea that I could try and do three of these at one night was stupid. Okay? Two simple ideas, though. Okay? I hope that we understand this. I hope that we can apply this. Okay? Be careful with your time. Use your time wisely. We only have so much of it. Use it wisely. Number two, be very careful about what you're communicating. Share the truth of God. Share the truth of the gospel. That's the greatest thing we can ever share, friends. Share the truth of the gospel. Share what matters, not what doesn't. Let's close in prayer. We'll let you go. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your love and grace. Lord, I know that I went long tonight. And Lord, I pray that despite all that, that Father, this has been encouraging. This has been helpful. Lord, that you would help us, Father, to use the gifts that you've given us, Father, in this generation. I strongly, firmly believe, Lord, that some of these things were and are given to help us, our church, our community, our fellow brothers and sisters, Lord, to help us to win a world that so desperately needs you. Billions are lost without the gospel. And yet, Father, we waste our time and we waste our words. We waste our moments sharing the truth on things that don't matter. Lord, convict us of that. Change us. Help us to truly, both internally and then externally, be evident that we are your children and that we're following you. Strengthen us in these things, we pray, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessing. Give us safety. Be with each prayer request. And Lord, thank you for all the praises that were shared earlier. Lord, you truly are working in our midst. Help us to continue to grow in you. And we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. God bless you.